Tune in to Radio Stormer on the dailystormer.com.
TWO Radio at Radio Stormer on the dailystormer.com.
Hello and welcome to Truth Will Out Radio, back after a 2 week break, and today's date is the 31st of July 2015. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks. Before I introduce my co-host, I'll just remind people that we do have a chat room, we do have a live stream, you could subscribe to our podcast, you can follow the feed. You'll find all of that in the sidebar of the dailystormer.com. There's a picture of an eagle there. If you click the eagle, that will take you to our chat room. So please do make use of all those facilities. Okay, as always, I have with me Mr. Dennis Wise, the producer of Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told. How are you doing today, Dennis?
I'm doing fine, thank you, Sven. Hope you are.
Yeah, it seems a little bit cold, isn't it? It's almost as if this swarm of black locusts have brought the winter with them, coming through the Channel Tunnel. The summer just seems to have disappeared. Hopefully it will come back, and this is just a blip. But I don't see this invasion of these Negroes as just being a blip. I mean, they had 2,000 of them in the Channel Tunnel the other night. 2,000 Negroes. I mean, this is real invasion, isn't it?
Yeah, but it makes me wonder how many got in. They were actually, I mean, they said there were 2,000 in the tunnel, but, they never said 500 were thrown back to France, you know what I mean? They did say 2,000, and I don't think it's that easy to get into the country. I'm not saying some didn't, but I'm not convinced en masse 2,000 just got in. I think I'm a bit of publicity seeking myself.
Well, I don't think 2,000 managed to get in. I think there was possibly 2,000 in the tunnel, or they managed to turn back to 2,000. But of course, some of them got in. And once they do get in, they don't send them back to France. You know, they process them. I mean, straight away, they're pleased to get arrested, because straight away they're put in a cell, they've got a room to themselves, they've got a toilet there, they've got food that's brought in for them, and then they get processed. You know, they can make their appeal, they can say, oh, well, we're fleeing persecution, and I've forgotten what my name is, I don't have a name. You know, they can say whatever they like, and they'll get looked after, won't they?
What I can't understand is why they want to come here in the first place.
Yeah, well, that is a good point. I mean, we're supposedly such oppressors, aren't we?
Well, fair enough. You know, it's not exactly Syria over here where everyone's getting bombed or whatever. But I wouldn't have said this was paradise over here, to be honest.
Well, I don't think it's Syrians. I mean, they keep saying, oh, well, it's terrible what's happening in Syria, and they're fleeing the war in Syria and the Middle East. But they're not Middle Easterners. They're not Syrians. The majority of them are pitch black. They're Sudanese.
Yeah.
They're not Libyan either. They say Libyan, and they're not Libyan. Clearly not Libyan.
Well, from what I can see on TV, they're like 18, 20-year-olds. They didn't seem to be family men. What were climbing on the wagons the other week, you know?
Well, not at all. You know, they're young men of fighting age, and if their countries are at war, then they should be fighting that war. They should be protecting the nation.
Putting down our fences.
Yeah, you know, they're just and holding our country to a standstill. I mean, the whole county of Kent is chock-a-block with lorries.
The roads
aren't moving. You imagine that. You can't get to the shops, you can't get to the dentists, can't get to the doctors, can't get to take your kids to school.
Where does the blame fall at? It's got to be the government.
Well, it is. They just seem to be allowing this. So they're criticising Cameron for calling them a swarm, and the narrative that you hear all the time is that they want to come over here for jobs, because we've got such a great economy over here. But and then at the same time, you're seeing advertisements on Channel 5 saying, look at the poor Negroes, they've got no water, all their water's contaminated. Send money to the charity. Look at them starving here. You know, they haven't even got water. They're not even capable of digging their own wells. So just having running water coming out of a tap is like heaven to them. Now, this is why they're coming over here.
Eyebrows raise when Cameron starts to criticise them. Because Cameron's the one what instigates it all anyway. Well, his backers or his funders instigate it all anyway. So whether, you know, when he's calling them a swarm or whatever, I'm not convinced he's speaking from his heart.
Well, he's not. He's just trying to be populist. He's just trying to be populist and appeal to the general sentiment. Because nobody wants these creatures here. Nobody wants
them here. No one does. No, crime goes up and everything. But, I mean, we've got a government what runs on, what's won an election on just over 30% of the nation, which is why democracy is a joke. And all his policies are, is like the rest of Europe, is diversity. I mean, we know from ourselves there, like London is now outnumbered by immigrants. The north up here, you know, I mean, Poles, Pakistanis, you know, it's practically around every corner. So it is, I find it hard now to find a true Englishman. So everything that the governments, consecutive governments have done, have gone down that road. So when he's calling them a swarm, I do raise my eyebrows.
Well, his ideas of ways to deal with it, they're laughable. They said, "Oh, we're gonna send some more money over there to improve the fences," and the fences are made of chicken wire. That's all they are—just chicken wire fence that anyone can just pull up and climb through. So they're going to put some more chicken wire fences, and the French, they're going to set out another team of 150 police. 150 police, and you got 5,000 at least of these creatures camped in the shanty town that they've built just on the other side, at the other end of the Channel Tunnel. 5,000 of them and 120 police. They think that's going to deal with it.
Well, I like the way that the government took advantage of the situation a while back and said to all the lorry drivers and the companies that any immigrants found in your wagons will cost you £2,000 an immigrant. So they're always going to take advantage of a taxation.
Yeah, they're trying to make money out of it. But the lorry drivers have said, they said these creatures are getting bolder and bolder. They said last year, if you opened up the door of the wagon, they would run. Said this time, you open up the door of the wagon and they'll come for you. He said, and then they're now armed. They got knives, they got weapons. How long is it going to be before they just, you know, shoot the driver, get in the lorry and drive it in themselves with the lorry driver's passport?
And the ironic thing is that once they're all over it, like, they soon find out it isn't what it is. And, right, I mean, I know some Poles who came over not long back, and they're going, if they haven't already gone back, we're intending going back to Poland.
Well, this is it for Europeans. I mean, Britain's pretty much the same as everywhere else. But if you are coming from somewhere like Eritrea, Sudan, Somalia, as I say, they haven't even got water.
You're coming from a mud hut, so an average is going to look.
And you got the free medical care here. They can just turn up at a hospital and they can get freely treated. They don't mention any of this. All they say on the television is, that it's because we've got the jobs that are better here. We don't mention the fact that we've actually got a health system here, so any of them that are ill can just go to the health system. They don't care if they're risking life and limb to get over here, because as soon as they get here, they can go to a hospital and they'll get top quality treatment that is not available anywhere in the entire continent of Africa. This is the difference. We don't, you know, realize just what a big difference it is between how we live here and how they live there. So
yeah, for sure.
And they are always going to be wanting to come here because they're not capable of creating that for themselves. Hey, this is the thing. We're still going over there to dig wells for them. Still haven't learned how to dig their own wells, how to get their own fresh water. And we're allowing these people to come over here and breed with our own people.
Well, that's the intention anyway. So I was just going to say the overall agenda is, as we say, to breed and wipe out the white race, I believe. Totally wipe out. It's not just disseminate it. They want to wipe it out.
And that's what happens if you have another race in your nation. They do interbreed and wipe each other out. And the less of the black blood there is, like a few generations down, if they've been marrying white people, the less people can actually tell that it's there. And it gradually works its way through the whole nation until the nation is no longer white and no longer capable of maintaining a civilization.
And no longer nationalistic.
Yeah, you lose all sense of loyalty, all sense of history, all links to your ancestors because none of them look like you.
Yeah.
And it just becomes people out for themselves. All is
this is their agenda, though, I believe. This is exactly what they wanted to happen after World War II.
Well, that seems to sort of almost given them an excuse for it. Well, we don't want any rise of nationalism again because we might end up having another world war. So in order to prevent that, we'll mix all the nations up. We'll mix them all up together so that nobody can actually unite and form a credible nationalist party, because the nation will be squabbling amongst one another because we'll have introduced all these other nations and races in amongst it. And that was the plan for the European Union all along, wasn't it? Was to get Kudinov Kalergi. You know, he said that the European of the future is going to look like your modern day Egyptian, you know, part European and part Negro.
Yeah. Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, as we were talking earlier about the fact that Europe's got a problem at the moment, because normally if you were to get what I call normal immigration, the levels they're reaching at quite a rapid pace is being met daily by this influx from the Middle East. All the pandemonium down in the Middle East is driving all these towards Europe. All these refugees, and I think Italy the other day got 38,000 arriving, and other countries have been having to accept. Greece have been having to accept thousands daily. It's like this is the fast track to wipe out the white race. They couldn't do it any quicker. So it works in two favors. It works in Israel's favor because they're now surrounded by countries full of pandemonium. And Europe's being influxed daily by thousands, weekly hundreds of thousands of these immigrants.
Yeah, all it serves is
whoever thought of that, quite a genius.
Yeah, it just serves the Jews' purpose, doesn't it? Create chaos in Syria next door, try and grab a bit of land there. At the same time, push all the Syrians into the neighbouring countries and the Palestinians, and hope. Get them to make their way into Europe, and then have the Jews that are in Europe fronting these pro-migration groups, calling to allow and lobbying to allow these locusts, parasites into our countries. Well, that's what they are. They're just locusts. They're just there to strip all the production and all the fruit that we produce. They're just there to strip it all. They can't actually contribute or give anything back, and they've got no intention of going back to their own lands. If they had an intention of going back to their own lands, they were genuine asylum seekers, they would stop at the nearest place where there wasn't a war. And Syria is at war, and that's why I say the majority of these so-called immigrants aren't Syrian, and they're not coming from countries that are at war.
You know, the kicker is that Israel are you know, the people responsible, the Zionists or the Jews, whatever you want to call them, are responsible for all of this. Just sit back, and when these immigrants arrive in these white nations, you know, the two physically fight each other, you know, and they just sit back and watch. So that's, you know, not only have they got a fast track to disseminate the white race in Europe, and have pandemonium all around Israel sitting pretty in the Middle East, they sit back and watch everyone fight amongst themselves as well. It's like, what a plan.
And the only thing you can say is that it is encouraging more people to support nationalism, and it is encouraging people to identify with their own race.
Well, nationalism always rises in these situations. It waits so long, and then when it gets to a certain point, people then realise that they're being affected, because a lot of people just don't care what's happening, where, whatever, they just look after themselves. But as soon as it's them, then this is when people think it's a problem, and that's when nationalism does take hold. Hopefully it'll take hold, you know, and hopefully put an end to the problem one day.
Well, I should imagine that there's a very strong nationalist sentiment in Kent at the moment. I can't imagine there's much sympathy there for them.
Well, no, but the JDL was Jew ran. It was funded by Jews, you know. So, the English Defence League, sorry, was funded by the Jews. So again, you know, there's no proper organisation to direct all this anger. It's everyone's more or less on their own, unless something like this comes along, like the English Defence League, and people have joined that unwittingly, knowing that the Jews are funding that.
Well, yeah, I mean, that should be clear. I mean, everyone's heard of the Jewish Defence League, so you've got English Defence League. It's already sharing the same title as a Jewish organisation, Jewish terrorist organisation that puts letter bombs in people's houses and is known for violent acts against white people. And you got the group naming themselves after them.
I forgot the leader. Well, the ex-leader, I think he resigned now. It was Tommy somebody or other.
Tommy Robinson.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. And he never criticised Israel. In fact, in some of the rallies, they had Israel flags there.
Well, this is the thing. I mean, a lot of, you know, the nationalists that aren't aware of the Jewish question that are anti-Islam, they don't understand it, because they see Israel and they say, well, you know, look, they're trying to keep out the Muslims. They're trying to keep their country for themselves. We should be supporting them because that's what we want. They don't realize that the ones that are causing the problems in our own countries are the Jews.
Yeah.
And that support Israel for the Jews, but at the same time support white countries for everybody else.
Exactly, yeah. It's you've got to hand it to them, you know. I mean, I begrudge saying it, but it is a master plan what's working.
It is very clever what they've done. It is very, very clever what they've done. But then again,
they've always done it, haven't they? They've always done that. You know, they've always hidden behind the scenes. Hitler was the one politician to come out and explain to his nation. And once they saw it, then it's everything just opens up. But every other nation since World War II, you know, it's funded by them, so, you know, they're going to keep things as tight as possible. And, okay, the internet's come out now and people are getting more and more aware, but this is it's still on a small scale. You know, it's not on the scale of, I mean, when you've got Sky News, Rupert Murdoch with Sky News, and he owns most of the newspapers over here, he literally dictates which government gets in and which leader gets in. Did it with Blair? Did it with Cameron? And that's the problem. You know, they monopolise the mainstream, and most people whose only worry is how to get to work and back this week will listen in and be fed all this rubbish.
Well, that brings us to think. Well, look at what Germany was able to do. Look at what Hitler was able to do. Once you've got a government in power that is nationalist, then it can use the media to educate people and instruct people and wake them up to the Jew. And then just look at what they're able to do. I mean, the power of the media is it's so strong. It's got so much strength to it.
It's a challenge.
Yeah.
Every home.
it's, you know, if you look at the way that this is being put across, you know, these poor immigrants fleeing the terrible war zones, this is all that's coming through from the media. And if the media was coming across nationalist, with a nationalist view, then, you know, people would be all behind it. As it is, you've got half and half. You've got some people that are saying, well, hang on a minute, this is a load of rubbish I'm being told on the news. And you've got other people that are still saying, you know, oh, well, these poor immigrants, you know, they're fleeing these war-torn countries. Whereas if we had control of the media, you'd have a united people and they would all be against it, as we saw in Germany.
Yeah, but the brainwashing as well is that as soon as you hear that word nationalist, you're immediately a racist. When you're a nationalist is to believe in his own race, in his own country, and the best for that. Whereas they've used it, you know, with the propaganda and the brainwashing, that if you're a nationalist, you're automatically a racist, which is complete rubbish. I mean, you know, you just want the best for yourself, your family, and your country.
Oh yeah, it's about loving your own race. What is the best for your people and your country? But I think part of it is that where we fought these wars for the Jews, we're like their golem, their footmen, when we force these banks into these third world countries to get them into debt. Then when people think of nationalism, they think it means supporting that. They think, I'm not proud of my country and what my country's done. You know, it started a war in Libya. It started a war in Iraq. So I'm against nationalists because I'm not proud of what my country's done. People don't realise that it's because the country is occupied by the Jews that we went to those wars in the first place.
And
the country has done these negative things. It's all due to being infiltrated and taken over by these Jews.
Yeah, it's in other words, it's the result of World War Two.
Yeah, it's all the knock-on effect from that. It really is. I think more and more people are realising that now with the internet, as you say. I've noticed there's quite a change in the comment sections of the main news sites. They're looking more and more like the comments that you would see at the Daily Stormer by the day.
I agree.
That's just the ones that are getting past the censors that they have at these sites. You know, the more black and white crime that we see, the more the responses are looking more like you would see at the Daily Storm.
Yeah, but it brings other things as well, because I came across a couple of videos on YouTube the other day, and I didn't realise how homosexually infuriated was the Eurovision Song Contest. I mean, it's just ridiculous when like I said, I watched a couple of videos, and the 10 best gay features of that song contest, and one song finished with two women literally kissing each other tenderly, and so what you've got is this homosexuality being pushed all the time as well. So that brings problems in itself. It's just it's Babylon coming in here, to be honest.
Well, that's another facet of it, is the pushing of the homosexual agenda. It's like on the BBC this morning, they've had this fat lesbian on there, and it's her whole, everything about her is just about her being a lesbian. Like, she's got an album that she's just brought out, and it's all about being a lesbian. It's all about her perverted sex act, basically, and she defines herself by that. You know, this fat lump with tattoos all over her arm, that is just going to look like a huge bruise by the time she gets to 50 on her arm. Talking about, the quote-unquote gay marriage. And she's performing the songs with Madonna. The way that they're just pushing this to people. And they don't understand it. You know what?
At all.
People just don't understand where that leads to.
They don't understand it.
I know in America now they've just allowed scout leaders to be homosexual.
I know they were a charity concert for them as well, because she's involved in all that as well. But yeah, I mean, this is the first I've heard about this. You mentioned it to me. I suppose you can bring paedophilia into it as well, because the Masons and the elite, they've always, children have always been in danger of these people, and now it's homosexual. I'm not saying every homosexual is paedophilia, but certainly there are quite a number. So if you're going to have these kind of people leading scout units with young children at your beck and call, it's not good.
Well, it's just asking for trouble. It is a very high proportion of them. I mean, right. You can say that in prisons, 35% of the pedophiles in prisons are homosexual, and yet homosexuals only make up 2% of the population. So you can say that they're vastly more likely to be pedophiles if they are homosexuals. But then besides that, you have also got with the homosexuals, they idealize the body of a 12-year-old boy, prepubescent boy, or just entering into adolescence. That is their ideal sex object. That's what they fantasize about.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard it, Red Ice program this week, a girl that was brought up by two gay dads, and she was adopted, and every one of the gay dad's friends fantasized about 12-year-old boys. She's the pedophiles, and this is how they think. That's what they find attractive, and this is why whenever you see these faggots, older faggots in the media, they will always have a boyfriend that's 20, 30 years younger than them, as young as they can possibly get away with. Because that's what it's about. Yeah. The only way they can create other homosexuals, the only way they can recruit other homosexuals is by molesting young boys. And molesting them when they don't really know what's going on, and hoping that they're going to like it. And then the young boy either commits suicide or becomes like them. That's the only way they can create more of them. That's what it's about.
Well, what was strange the other day was... I don't know if you've heard this guy Ben Fellows. Have you heard of him?
Yeah, I have heard of him. Yeah, I don't trust him, to be honest.
Well, he's not
white for a start.
So he's not white. But as the story goes, he had to leave the country at one stage. He was living out in Spain, and when he came back again, the police immediately arrested him and put him in custody. And he was alleging that Kenneth Clark had touched him up on. One of the Cook reports from way back when, which never got shown on TV, and he got accused of perverting the course of justice. Now, when he first asked for him to be arrested, Kenneth Clark, the police said to him that Kenneth Clark is above arrest. He was in government then, but since then he's quietly left the government, and. They had the court case of the day where this bringing the what was the name of the court thing? I can't remember, but anyway, he was found not guilty. Now, if he's found not guilty for what he said about Kenneth Clark, surely that must mean Kenneth Clark was guilty.
I think it was willfully lying or something. Yeah, a poet or willfully lying, but
perverting the course of justice, that's what it was. But he got found not guilty. So what does that tell you?
Well, you know, it could mean that he was telling the truth, or it could mean that they've accepted that Negroes do fantasize and think that things have happened when they haven't. Because he's talking about, you know, like a young age. You got Jews
it was
real in my mind. They get away with saying it was real in my mind. It was true in my mind.
Yeah.
when obviously
I have heard that one before. In my imagination, it was true. Yeah. But
in my imagination, the point being, though,
there are politicians, as we know, like Cyril Smith and half the Tory cabinet from the 80s. You know, we're all involved in it, so it wouldn't surprise
you. There are, but I don't. Yeah. You know, but the fact that he's black. Makes me think, well, why would King Clark do it to, you know, a Negro? He would be abusing white boys. They wouldn't be abusing Negroes, would they?
Well, maybe he had a fetish for that, I don't know.
this is why when the social services snatch children to order, they don't snatch Negroes' children. They don't snatch Paki children. They snatch white children to order because it's the white children that these perverts want. You know, they don't snatch and abuse the Negroes. The Negroes give their children away for free. Right? they won't adopt them. I was thinking this the other day. I mean, just to take this back to this Negro invasion that they've been showing on the news today. They've managed to find a little bit of film where some of the invaders are lifting up this 5-6-year-old Negro child over the fence, as if to say, "Look, you know, it's families with children. We must rescue them." And I was just thinking, I bet he's bought that kid so that he can use it to get himself in Manchester. Sorry,
almost sale for Manchester the other week. Someone was going around in a pram trying to sell the baby.
I saw that. Yeah, Negro trying to sell a £1,000 infant in
Manchester
at the shops. Mm. Well, they do. That's what they do in Africa. Life is cheap. They have a different method of breeding to what we do. We have high investment parenting. We will have a small amount of children and invest lots and lots of parental time in bringing them up. Whereas their way of having children is have lots and lots and lots of infants and don't invest any time in bringing them up. I mean, once they're weaned, some of these tribes, once they're weaned, that's it. They're fending for themselves. They're crawling about, digging around, digging up worms and plants and whatever they can find and stuffing them in the mouth and eating them. And they're left to do that on their own. There are records of this from people that, the old anthropologists before everything was politically corrected. And they said that they would be left to fend for themselves as soon as they were weaned. They would be weaned at about 6 or 7 years old.
And then
They would sell them. They would breed them, literally, to sell them. Sorry, go on, Dennis.
I see your point. But I look at it this way. If Jimmy Savile goes up to Ted Heath and says, "Ted, all I can get is a brown one," is he going to say no?
Well, yeah, I suppose there is that. But I do think that the weight of, the fact that the guy is black and he's a witness and he's made these allegations. And through making these allegations, he's made himself very famous. He's got his face everywhere.
I thought he had some valid points because the Carlton TV company, the Cut Report was part of, which, like I said, never did get shown, was bought over by John Major after all this scandal broke out. Or John Major had something to do with the takeover. So, I'm not too sure that he wasn't, but I mean, it was only minor fondle anyway, but apparently it wasn't actually full sex or anything like that. But I read some things of what he said, and he mentioned Tom Cruise a couple of times and a couple of other people, which wouldn't surprise me, not necessarily with him, but with the children that he knew of.
Hasn't some of his stories, they're a little bit wilder than that even, aren't they? I mean, it's not just... I haven't looked into this for a while. I mean, I heard about it a couple of years back.
Yeah.
I think there are a lot of other allegations that he was making and getting paid a lot of money for these stories.
Well, the reason I say Tom Cruise is because he's a member of the Scientology thing, and the original founder of Scientology was a close friend to Aleister Crowley. So 2 and 2 make 4 to me in that situation. So when he said it, I didn't discount it. But certainly, just to get back to the Scouts thing, if you've got these kind of people in charge of a group of 15, 20 young boys stopping out overnight in tents around a campfire, if they are that way inclined, they'll find it very hard to resist approaching one or more.
That's if they want to resist approaching them. I would suggest that there would be lots of queers now wanting to become scoutmasters precisely so that they could corrupt the...
I meant approaching boys. Kids while they're out overnight.
And then make allegations of homophobia if anyone criticised them. Yeah, this is the thing.
Well, they want to make it normal. In fact, in many people's eyes, they've been convinced that homosexuality is normal, which is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. But if they can make it normal, then there's no crime. I mean, look at Harriet Harman. She's had flack over being involved in the dealing with Pi, the paedophilia company way back when. who didn't hide the fact that they were paedophiles. And they intended to bring the age down, they tried to bring the age down to the age of 4, but I think they've settled on the age like 10 or 12 now, I can't quite remember. But she's trying to pass a law, or recommending a law, if they ever get in power, to bring down any photographs of children which were classed as either paedophile or pornography. As long as the child doesn't look that it's been harmed, it's fine. And that's what she wants to get as law.
That's disgusting. The child's already been harmed. The child's had its innocence taken away from it. This is the way these paedophiles and these queers work. You know, they will say, well, the child enjoyed it. Child was enjoying it. The child can't give its consent. The child cannot give its consent. That's why we have an age of consent at 16. Only the parents are responsible for the child. Child is not a small adult. It's not a small grown-up. It's innocent children. They have innocence, which is something which we forget as adults. It's something that we lose. But it's something that's incredibly precious. It's one of the most precious things in the world is innocence. And you don't realise how precious it is until it's gone. And that's what these queers and these pedophiles, that's what they're all about doing is corrupting innocence, and the media and the sex education that is helping them to do it. That's doing it for them.
Well, I'm hoping to do in part 10 of Communism by the Back Door. I'm hoping to do touch on this subject. I have got hold of an interview of a pedophile being interviewed and giving his side of the story, which any normal person would find abhorrent. So I'm hoping to fit that into this next part 10, because I feel that the elite who were causing or hoping to get this new world order have always practiced paedophilia, and it's the reason why these politicians are being found out. Unfortunately, many are usually dead big time. You know, it's been proven, and I'm sure that's purposely done as well. You know, police won't prosecute being Masons themselves, they won't prosecute another Mason if they can help it anyway. And so, like, you know, a lot of these, like Leon Britton, who recently died, Cyril Smith was found to be after he died, Jimmy Savile after he died. So, you know, I'm hoping to touch on all this in this next episode, and I do have. I have managed to get hold of some footage of a paedophile being interviewed and explaining why it should be brought down to the age of 10 or 12.
That's sickening. They do throw the odd sacrificial victim on the altar.
Of course, don't they? Yeah.
But as you say, it's always once they're dead. And this does go right up to the top. And once they've been involved in that, then they've it's like a thing of secrecy that surrounds them. They're not going to rat out on any of them, and also you're not going to be able to get them to by threatening them, because they know that it's just going to drop them in it. And the Masons are involved, as you say, the Masonic police. They protect the Masonic politicians, the secret societies. That are behind all this. The secret societies that go back to 300 or 400 years with the oaths that they take. I mean, I see that as the first thing that separated people from having loyalty to their nation. Because suddenly, instead of having loyalty to their blood, they had loyalty to the people in the secret society, and they had taken oaths on their lives to be loyal to the secret societies. And the secret societies were international. Jews in them, you had all these different people in them, and you had these lodges all the way across Europe that are all working to overthrow the king, overthrow the established order, and bring in the new Masonic order, which is where communism comes from. The French Revolution, their motto is the motto that they have above the door of every lodge. You know, fraternity, egality, fraternity, liberty. You know, the watchword of the French Revolution, straight from the Masonic Lodge.
Well, I'm going to say that the oath they take, if they actually say, if I break this oath, may I cut my throat or rip my heart out, all this kind of carry on. And you know, there has been instances in the past of these people being killed for breaking that oath. So it's the police who are already Masons, if they come across another Mason, will find it very difficult to charge him just on that oath alone.
Well, yeah, there's been a few instances of corpses found that have had, you know, their tongue ripped out, yep, and found in these various positions of the body that have been put there to show that it's been a Masonic killing for having broken their vows of secrecy. Now, if you got these vows, yep, of secrecy, you know that's going to happen to you, and you find out that somebody in the lodge is a pedophile. You know, they can't say anything.
Well, that's a point.
They're guilty by the fact they haven't said anything. They then become part of the conspiracy. This conspiracy of silence.
Well, they actually put Leon Britton in charge of the allegations what broke out during the 80s when Thatcher was in government. The hotel down in London where the Monday Club would meet, and there's obviously one or two people suspicious as well of being taking part in that, Cliff Richard being one, and a couple of other people, but most of them have died. But they actually put Leon Britton in charge of the investigation, and he was part of that organisation anyway. So it's a known fact that the government, I think it was last year, admitted that papers and documents went missing from that particular case. But it were always going to do when Liam Britton's in charge. And so now they've buried him in an unmarked grave, hoping for everything to die down eventually, I would imagine.
It's the same as the Janner thing. It's Jew Janner. All these allegations of pedophilia against him over the last 30 or 40 years. Mm-hmm. So his documents going missing and never being arrested. And this goes on right at the heart of the corridors of power, right at the centre of Whitehall. This goes on, and Cameron, yeah, saying he's going to get to the bottom of it. You know, they tried to get to the bottom of it, and was it three different people that were in charge of it were found to have conflicts of interest and to have been, yeah, to dinner parties at Janner's, yeah, or whatever. And then they said, well, you know, we can't actually find anyone that's not involved in this, that's not linked in with, yeah, us. the reason for that is because you've all got Jews at the centre of power, so and the Jews are interlinked with everybody else. The only way, yeah, they could possibly find someone is to go to another country, maybe, and get somebody from another country to look into it.
Well, all this links into Satanism as well. You know, I mean, it's all linked in some way to this abhorrent cult of whatever, you know, Satanists or Freemasons or whatever, which Hitler did more than anybody to try to destroy. And when you got children in peril, that's where I draw the line. You know, you can't be having children being put in a situation where they're either being tortured or molested or whatever. It's just not. It just doesn't run true to the. Well, I don't think there's many British people think like that. I think this does come from another culture, another race. I don't think British are that way inclined anyway.
Well, it does. It comes directly from the Talmud. If you think, where does it originate from, this idea, exactly, of abusing children? You know, you see children, you feel protective over them. You know, innocence, you want to protect innocence. You know, people would give, yeah, their lives to protect their children. And then you got this opposite idea of abusing their children. So where does it come from? Well, if you look, the oldest records of it, this is a Talmud. It says it's, yeah, fine. You know, it's fine to rape a girl until she's up to the age of three.
Yeah, just like poking a finger.
Little boys can be sodomized up to the age of nine because it doesn't matter. Yeah. And again, they say perverted sex is okay if you're raping a woman. Perverted sex is okay, meaning sodomy. Mm. You can rape, sodomize, that's fine because it's not proper sex. This is all, yeah, from the Talmud.
Exactly.
This is all the laws that the Jews are given that they are to...
It intertwines with communism.
Okay,
yeah, exactly. Because it intertwines with communism. Because all this communism is Jewish by birth, you know. So it's like, just put the line up against the wall and shoot him. That's what I say. Don't even bother with a trowel.
Well, I think when you get the pedophilia linked with Freemasonry, it's because the Freemasonry comes from Judaism. It's based on the Kabbalah, based on the Talmudic ideas. So you've got these Freemasons who idolize the Jews and think that they're these mystical holy people. And they look at their so-called mystical holy books, and it tells them all this sort of stuff. And it tells them this sex magic, which they do, and abusing children is okay.
And
further on down the line, you've got Crowley that finds all these extreme sides of these secret societies and extreme perversities and puts them all together. And then you've got the leading pop stars and actors of today, idolizing Crowley.
It
gradually gets worse and worse through our history, from the start of these secret societies, from the start of allowing the Jews into our countries onwards. We never heard of it before then.
No.
Well, this is brought with them, isn't it?
If you look at what Crowley stands for and the organization OTO, I have a video on it, part six, what lists a lot of it. I watched a video once and it said, although there was no proof, but an insider supposedly said that some of these people actually do eat excrement, which I found ridiculous when I first saw it. But then when I found out that was practiced in the OTO by Crowley, it suddenly didn't seem that far-fetched. Because, to be a follower of Crowley, to know what Crowley actually did was, I think you've got to be perverted to follow him anyway.
Well, I think you've got, as a Hindu sect called the Gauris, and they eat human flesh, they do these things to the extremes. All these non-white religions are involved in this. They're corrupted. Yeah. Their race themselves, the very biology is corrupted by another race. They're mixed race, and their religions themselves are corrupted. And their religions are corrupted with these ideas, these twisted ideas, the same as their biology is corrupted. Bring them into our countries to mix in with our nations, and our nation becomes corrupted by them.
Exactly.
It's like you got pure and impure. If you adulterate a substance, that substance then becomes adulterated. It was pure before, but if you adulterate it, the whole substance is then adulterated. And that's what happens with the nations. You bring the Jews into it, and your nation becomes adulterated with these Jews. Your culture becomes adulterated with them. Your religion becomes adulterated by them. And everything starts corroding and breaking down. And you start having these people with these twisted ideas, advocating these twisted, sick ideas that go totally against nature. There's this homosexuality. I mean, you're saying there that... they've normalized, they've more than normalized it. They've put it on a pedestal and made it sacrosanct. They've made it sacrilege to criticize it. They've made it a courageous act to talk about doing it. How courageous and brave, these sports people are to say that they stick it up each other's backsides, That's what it is. That's what it boils down
to. Literally.
Masturbating in each other's feces, and we are being told that this is courageous and this is a wonderful thing, and we should be teaching this to our children.
Yeah, I'm just looking now at the Ordo Templi Orientis uses, and it's actual. You have ritual sex, homosexuality, bestiality. I've no idea what pederasty is. Ritual drugs, ritual torture, ritual human and animal sacrifice, ritual blood drinking and cannibalism. Also, castration rites of Atis and Cybele, and the eating of human excrement. So, like I said, there's an actual mass on Vimeo, which banned my documentary, the Adolf Hitler one, actually has a mass by this Ordo Templi Orientis. So anybody, which was formed by Crowley, so if anybody actually follows Crowley, you've got to be suspicious of what they actually get up to. And when I saw this video about the Hollywood thing, I mean, I did one myself, but I didn't have any proof of it. But like I said, if that's what the OTO actually implements in their actions, should I say, then it wouldn't surprise me that these Hollywood people do this kind of thing because they revere Crowley. And like I said, it's I would certainly just give me the guns then. I'll put them up against the wall and I'll shoot them. Not a problem.
Yeah, that's all you can do with these people. They should be executed. They should be lawfully tried and executed. But you know, one of the ways that what they will say is they will say, well, you've got, you know, the religions, all religions are equal. They're all beliefs that people have and we should be allowed to have your separate, your different religious beliefs. And before we had Christianity and everything else was heathen. It was seen as magic. It wasn't a religion. It was heathenry. It was, you know, it wasn't on, didn't even deserve to be called a religion. There was only one religion, that was Christianity. We followed it. We were Christian countries. And anything else was not allowed. As soon as you say, well, hang on.
Because it had morals.
Yeah, as soon as you say, well, Christianity is the same as everything else, you've got Abrahamic faiths. Not just one faith, but Abrahamic faiths. It's then seen as being equal to these other two faiths. And if these three faiths are all equal, then that means all these other religions are equal as well. And then if all the religions are equal, then all the cults are equal and all the other nonsense that these people come out with. And so then, you know, once you cease to have that ideal, the ideal that you're striving for, you know, Christianity, once you cease to have that and say it's all relative, it's just relative to everything else, then anything can be allowed. And that's when you end up with this being put across as being the same as Christianity.
This is what Crowley preaches, do what thou wilt. And it's fine for people to say, oh, it's, you know, we should be able to do whatever we want. But as soon as you have no boundaries and no morals or laws as such, if everybody does what they want to do, God knows where it's going to take us. Because I can remember John Lennon speaking once about it. You know, he said people should be allowed to do whatever they do as long as it doesn't harm anybody. But when I've got a paedophile being interviewed and saying that the actual child isn't harmed or is quite complicit at the age of six, you know, then it leads to big problems, big problems. And this is where Christianity would come in and set the moral ground for the white race. And once that's destroyed, along with the white race, God knows where we're going to go and anybody can do whatever they want.
Well, that was the standard. When we had politicians, they would swear to uphold the Christian law, All the laws in the country were supposed to be based around that. Yeah, and one of the Christian laws is you don't have other religions. You have to be intolerant of them. You can't allow them in. You can't be tolerant and allow other religions in with other laws. That's why you end up with this Sharia law being brought in.
Exactly.
You know, this is how the Jews got into Parliament. They couldn't get into Parliament because in order to get into Parliament, they had to swear to uphold the Christian law. And they lobbied the government. The government said, no, we're not changing that. So they waited, because of democracy, of course, and another party got into power, and they lobbied the other party, and eventually they got that changed. So they got the law changed. So instead of taking a vow to uphold the Christian law, it was just to uphold the laws of the land. And, of course, you can if they change the laws of the land, then they can change them to whatever they like.
Exactly what they've done when they've got women bishops and whatever, and lesbians marrying each other and gays marrying each other. That's exactly what they've done. They've changed the laws.
You can trace it.
The moral laws.
Yeah, you can trace it back to there. Hey, what they say today, you've got moral relativity. They say everything's relative. You know, things change, and we have to base our morals on what we see around us. Whereas before, your morals were based on an ideal that was unchangeable, because it was eternal, because it was divine law. Morals came from God. God doesn't change. He doesn't lie. You know, that word stands for all time. That was what we believed. So we had a standard that we had to live up to. And when people took their vows, they were they believed in what they were taking their vows to. So if they took a vow that they were going to do something and that vow was to God, they knew that they would be punished by God if they broke that vow. So they wouldn't break that vow. And the whole of society was based on that. The police, the government, the judges, everything. When you're standing there on the court and you take swearing on your Bible, you know, everything was based around a belief in God, a belief in eternal punishment, so that when somebody took a vow, they wouldn't break it. They would tell the truth because they had this faith that they would be punished by God if they broke it. So once you take the belief of God out of that system, people no longer believe in God, their vows no longer mean anything. So the whole system, the whole structure of the system can then crumble.
Turns into Babylon.
Yeah, it turns into what we've got now, because there's no... People then just become loyal to themselves. They can lie. They can do whatever they like because they don't believe they're going to be punished anymore.
And worse than anything is all these laws are getting changed, etc., to allow all these homosexual activities to be normal. And the people, the Christians left who criticise them, are the ones who ended up being persecuted.
Oh yeah, I was just, and the other thing is, you know, when you've got a belief in God, people, you know, they become as if God is watching them all the time. So they behave themselves and they obey their conscience and they obey the laws that they've been taught because they have this belief in God. Once they don't think God is watching them, when nobody's watching them, they can do whatever they like. You know, this is why we now have cameras everywhere. We have to have cameras watching everyone so that we can assure ourselves that everybody else is behaving themselves. Before, you didn't need cameras. When people believed in God, there was no need for cameras. Because
people put hoods on anyway, don't they? So.
Yeah, people knew they were being watched. You know, they knew that they were being watched. Whereas now you take away that belief in God, people, if they think nobody's looking...
Well, state is now the God.
Yeah.
State is now the God, as in communism.
And who's running the state? The Jews. And where does that come from? The Jews are their own God. It comes straight from the Talmud.
Yeah.
The Jews are their own God. In the Talmud, the Jews tell God what to do, what to believe, and what laws to make.
Yeah. Well, I hate to think what they think of us as Gaiam.
Well, we're just animals. We don't have souls.
Exactly.
We're just animals to them. Slaves. You know, and the Talmud itself, we didn't know what was in the Talmud. When they found out what was in the Talmud,
when Luther translated it,
but since then they've tried to redact bits of it. But the originals are there in the Vatican. The Vatican have got them. I mean, the Pope, he outlawed the Talmud once they discovered what was actually in it.
Yeah, they're a ticking of Freemason now anyway, so that's gone. Well, we've got no church to guide us. Well, they are guiding, but guiding us down the same road as the subjects we've been talking about today.
Oh, well, the church used to be.
Put them up against the wall for me. Give me the gun.
Well, the church used to be against Freemasonry, and it used to be against the Jews, and it used to say the same as you're saying there. Give me the gun and put them up against the wall. You know, I was just learned about this the other day in doing the Radio Stormer narrations. And it was justifying the Inquisition. It was saying, look, these Jews, they were cursed by God in the Bible. They were cursed to be put to the fire and massacred and genocided. They were cursed to have this happen to them because of their wickedness. So the Inquisition setting fire to them, that's got God's blessing. That really has got God's blessing, and they justified it with that. They said, look, you know, these Jews are supposed to be punished, and this Inquisition is doing the Lord's work. And they try and distance themselves from the Inquisition now, and they try and say, it wasn't so much the church found them guilty, but it was the kings that then punished them and set fire to them. But it was on the church's orders, and they theologically justified it, quite rightly too. Capital punishment.
They haven't been picked out of so many countries for no reason, have they? You know, how many, it's over 100 countries that I know of that have been kicked out of. And it can't always be the last of the problem.
It's 109 countries they've been kicked out of, and 107 of them were Christian countries. There's Christian countries that kick the Jews out. When you have a united Christian country, properly Christian, not Zio-Christian, not the modern day Christian, but
evangelist Christian, America,
then, they'll kick the Jews out. They kept the Jews separate, beyond the pale. They were kept separate to the rest of society. They weren't allowed to be a part of the rest of society. And that was the whole point of the French Revolution, was the emancipation of the Jew. The whole point of this human rights and all these lofty ideals, it was all about just getting the Jew citizenship the same as everyone else, so that the Jew could then insert himself into the society and corrupt it from within. Because up till that point, the Jew was separate. He was completely separate. He wasn't allowed to be a politician. He wasn't allowed to own these businesses. The only business he could do was his usury money lending. You know, he couldn't teach. He couldn't buy newspapers, printing, all of this. He did not have the same rights as a member of the nation. And that French Revolution, that was all that it was about, was getting equal rights for the Jew. Once they got their equal rights, then they started up the Bolshevik Revolution. It's the same thing in Russia and Poland.
And once they take advantage, they are ruthless.
Absolutely.
I don't know if you've seen the video. There's quite a good documentary out at the moment on YouTube. I don't know how long it's been out, for people interested in finding out about the Jews and what have you. It's Marching to Zion. I don't know if you've seen it or not.
And is that by a Baptist preacher?
By a preacher, and is it Tex Myers, I think, and they go around and ask certain things about the Bible to these Jews, and I found it interesting anyway. Really interesting.
I think it's been featured at the Daily Stormer. It's been featured there. We got it's on the video page, I got quite a few comments. It's a good film. Well, that's pretty much brings us up to the hour, Dennis.
Okay.
I don't know if you want to add anything else here at the end.
No, it's just like I said, I'm still working on part 10 of Communism by the Back Door. The last one, part 9, has had some real interest. You know, there's quite a fast number of hits. I think it tops over 5,000 now. It hasn't been out that long. So I was quite happy about that. So things are good.
Any news on the YouTube ban of Adolf Hitler, Greatest Story Never Told? Have you managed to get that back up at all yet?
Well, apparently somebody tried to put them all back up again, and I think they didn't manage to get one up, which was part 25, but I put some new music to that on my channel so people can still view that. But of the rest of the 27 part or the 26 parts that they managed to get up, I think 3 have been banned. So there's a huge bulk of it up there for people to still be able to view. I think the channel's called The Prodigal Son. So that, and you know, he managed to get quite a few up there. Maybe they might be taken down by now, I don't know, but they weren't yesterday, you know.
Well, people can still find them all on greatestorynevertold.tv, can't they?
Yeah. I think it's on LiveLeak as well. I think that there's an earlier version on LiveLeak, five and a half hours, I think, not the 6.5 hour one.
Oh, that's good. Well, I expect most of our listeners have seen them already. If they haven't, go out and watch them again. Watch them again. Definitely worth doing.
Well,
definitely
it's always good for brushing up on. Yeah. See, I mean, you know, it's the only World War II documentary which ever gave the German point of view.
Yeah, it's the only one that has a ring of truth to it.
And it has changed lives.
Yeah, definitely changed mine. Okay, well, I'll say thanks for coming on again, Dennis. And I'll say thank you to the listeners. We do hope you're going to tune in again next week for another Truth Will Out Radio. So until then, hail victory.
Ciao. Yeah.
tuned in to Radio Stormer on the DailyStormer.com.